Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we're going back to Israel in March. We go every year. I've been every year, except for maybe a couple of years, the last 20, to see the land of the Bible, Israel, in March. It's a great time of the year to go. It's not too hot yet. And so if that's something you want to do, then we'd love to have you. We go to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Jericho and the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and Nazareth and all points in between. So much that you've read about in the Bible, that's what we see. These are real places where real events really happened, and many of them are preserved for us to enjoy today in Israel. So that's March 9 through the 17th. March 9th through the 17th, we're going to Israel, leaving out of New York City, flying direct, and then coming back on the 17th. So if that's on your bucket list, or if that's something you're ready to do, or you want more information on that trip, just go to the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com, and you can, all the information is there. If you're the kind of person that wants to get a brochure in your mailbox and read it on your patio, then we can send you a brochure. And that is available by calling 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 800-FAMILIES, and then just touch the number 5 on your phone, and you'll go to the mailbox there, the voice mailbox, and just leave us your name and your address, and we'll mail you a brochure today for the Holy Land trip coming up in March. Well, Ray Pritchard co-hosting with me today. I've asked Abe Hamilton to come in to the studio for just a few minutes and bore us with legal stuff about the Clinton investigation. No, I'm just kidding. I asked Abe to come in and talk about this just for a moment because I think we need to understand the seriousness of the moment on what's happened here in our country. And it's not good news with respect to the investigation the FBI conducted of Hillary Clinton and what's happening there. I know many of you are bored with this story, as am I, but we need to close it out with some sobering news, I think, on what's happened here. Abe is a public policy analyst for American Family Radio. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Okay, Abe. Let's start out by boring people with a couple of definitions here, okay? No, seriously, I'm kidding around here, but I was watching this story last night. Yesterday, James Comey, the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, made an appearance before the House committee that has oversight on these kinds of issues. And he was being asked questions about things that the FBI did in their investigation of Hillary Clinton. We all know that she chose to use a private email server out of her basement or her restroom, or bathroom, wherever she put it in her house. She did this when she started as Secretary of State so as to avoid oversight by Congress and so she could conduct the business of secretly without being without being known what she was doing by the federal government. That's the reason you do what she did here. Anyway, the FBI granted, we now know, to her close confidants, 5 immunity deals in their investigation. My question to you, what is an immunity deal?
An immunity deal is an agreement struck by the law enforcement agency and the particular object of the deal, whereas the law enforcement agency promises not to prosecute the subject of immunity in exchange for that subject providing information that the law enforcement entity deems as being critically necessary for its investigation. So it's
is it common?
It is a common practice in law enforcement, but you rarely see a grant of immunity that results in the refusal to prosecute the subject of the target of the investigation.
But 5 people surrounding her were granted immunity. That just seems terribly odd to me if nothing's afoot, if nothing wrong.
It's extremely odd to grant them when nothing's afoot. And when, for example, when Director Comey says that he granted Cheryl Mills immunity in order to get a laptop.
That's Clinton's attorney.
Yeah, and Cheryl Mills is Hillary Clinton's attorney and chief of staff. When you and this laptop is government property. The FBI could have very easily just subpoenaed the laptop. You know where it is. You know who has it. You can just simply order her to produce it. Well, so to give her immunity to get the laptop,
Well, immunity, you're granting immunity means you won't be prosecuted
right.
in return for information.
Right. That's what I said. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I was distracted there for a minute. So this is just like, so also her IT guy.
Yeah.
Who set up the server at her home.
James Bagliano.
He pleaded the fifth.
Yes.
Okay, what does it mean for a person to plead the fifth?
All right. The Fifth Amendment protects every American citizen by granting to us a privilege against self-incrimination. What that means is that I can invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment not to answer any questions because my answer would incriminate me. The answer to your question, if I answered it honestly, would provide evidence to convict me of a crime. That's what the invocation of the Fifth Amendment is. I cannot answer your question because my answer would likely cause me to be convicted of a crime.
Now, this is what the IRS director pleaded, Lois Lerner.
That's exactly right.
At the time, she pleaded the Fifth Amendment.
And it's also the reason why you can't force defendants who are charged with crime to testify at trial. You can't make them testify because of the Fifth Amendment.
It's a constitutional right that any American has, but for a government employee who's responsive to the people and paid by the people to plead the Fifth Amendment, I don't know that a Fifth Amendment should apply to a situation like that because you don't
lose your constitutional rights because you become a government employee.
I know, but to me it screams guilty. It says I'm guilty of sin and I'm sure not going to tell you how I did it. That's what it says to me.
And in this context, you have Pagliano saying, well, I'm probably guilty of some crimes, but if you want me to tell you some information about some other crimes, you got to make sure you don't prosecute me for my crimes.
Okay. So bottom line is here, what Jonathan Turley said last night indicated he is a liberal law professor from George Washington in in Washington, D.C. It often appears on the news. I saw him on the O'Reilly Factor last night. And basically, Bill O'Reilly said this too, that James Comey looks like a political hack here. In other words, the FBI had all the goods on Hillary Clinton and her team,
and just let her go.
And they just let her go scot free.
Look at this. They granted Cheryl Mills immunity to get the laptop in an investigation where Hillary Clinton is the target. Yet Cheryl Mills is present for Hillary Clinton's interview. That never happens.
Okay, and you have experience in this area.
I've granted immunity to witnesses in homicide cases and drug cases. You know, the low man on the totem pole, we want to get the top man on the totem pole.
Right.
We'll grant you immunity for testimony against the top man.
Okay.
But in order for the immunity to stand, you have to testify in court. You know, but here you have Cheryl Mills, who's personally granted immunity because she has evidence of a crime that she may be guilty of. But nevertheless, she's allowed to be present while James Comey, the FBI, interviews Hillary Clinton. This stinks.
That's how you would describe it?
It stinks. It stinks.
Well, that's what both Turley and Turley voted for Obama. He's a liberal. He's a law professor. And then O'Reilly last night, they just said the same thing you just said. So what it appears that Hillary Clinton got off because of who she was and her whole team. Nobody even had to be a fall guy, so to speak.
I mean, that is remarkable.
But it, you know, we joke about this but it's really no joking matter because it says that the law holds people accountable unless you're the Clintons unless you're so powerful that the law can't reach you.
That's what it says. And how are we as the American public supposed to take if, let's say, hypothetically, Hillary Clinton becomes the commander in chief?
Right.
She is the head of law enforcement in the country.
Yeah.
But her very persona embodies the fact that the law really only applies to you.
Yeah, that's just not a good. That's not a good feeling. It's not a good message to our kids. It's now you have people who work for the government who are invoking the Hillary.
Yeah,
they're saying, "How can you nail me for something more less significant than what she's clearly guilty of?"
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, Abe. Thanks for explaining that to us. But I just wondered what are you having difficult? Okay, we don't have our guest on yet. We're trying to get our guest on, so we're going to grant you immunity to stay here,
okay,
and answer more questions. Okay, we're talking to Abe Hamilton. Ray, what do you think about all this? Or do you even? I mean,
well, I have a question for Abe. You know, you said emphatically, this stinks. Are we talking here about simply a bad appearance? Or is the fix in here, or is something criminal being covered up? I mean, so when you said it stinks, unpack that phrase for us. What's really wrong here?
No, I'm not just talking about bad appearance. What I'm talking about is clear violations of the law. When our chief law enforcement officials in the country are aware of these violations, but because of the person involved, there's no other way to cut this, because it's Hillary Clinton, that they're not prosecuting her. I mean, you have like Paul Cambella, for example, who was as recently as a couple weeks ago still looking for ways to get rid of VIPs' names off of emails.
Even as late as a couple of – is this the same fellow that destroyed evidence after it was subpoenaed by the Congress?
Yes, it's the same. It is the same person who destroyed evidence in light of Congress's subpoena.
Right.
Because they were subpoenaed, now let's destroy. This is what he did.
That is a crime on the books. I mean, if you look at
that. That is a crime.
Right.
That is illegal.
Right.
Yet he is granted immunity.
Right. So really nobody's held accountable in all this. There's not even a low totem pole ball guy, right?
No, and the reason why I say this.
So they're high-fiving right now.
They're more than high-fiving. That's why you can have a President Obama years ago to say, nothing's here. That's how you can have.
Oh, I got
uh-huh.
you. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, you're right. President Obama, before the investigation was even complete, he said there's nothing. They basically said there's nothing that would endanger our national security. This is much to do about nothing.
Much to do about nothing.
And I wondered at the time, I said, how do you know that, Mr. President?
Exactly.
The investigation isn't even finished yet.
Because I know the people who have to make the decision, and I know they're not going to decide that anything is here.
And then you add that to Bill Clinton meeting for half an hour with the Attorney General.
The tarmac, Loretta Lynch.
Loretta Lynch on the tarmac at an airport in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
That just happened to happen.
And then immediately after that, there's a planned appearance between President Obama and Hillary Clinton the same day that James Comey is announcing his decision. If there was any fear that it was possible that James Comey would announce that he was going to prosecute Hillary Clinton, there's no way that
now
you'd have this joint appearance.
Now, the FBI could only recommend an indictment. Is that right?
Yes.
To the Justice Department, which is Loretta Lynch would have made that call, right?
Yes.
Bill Clinton's 30-minute friend on the tarmac while his wife is a target, supposedly.
Yes.
This just, wow. You know, I told somebody a year ago when all this broke, I said, man, this looks terrible for Hillary Clinton. I mean, this just, I don't see how she's going to get out of this one. They said, watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, no, you can't set up a private server to do government business, expose national secrets and get away with it. You got to pay some kind of price. And this person said, watch.
Yeah.
And so here we are. Amazing. Ray, you see any political ramifications from this, or you think that Americans have already know Hillary Clinton?
Well, if you circle back around to the big debate on Monday night,
right,
this clearly was one of the big misses of Donald Trump, right? When they asked him the question about cybersecurity, there was the open door,
right,
to prosecute everything you and Abe have been talking about. I mean, it was right there. Then he goes off on the Russians, and he goes off on the 400-pound hacker and all this other crazy stuff. I mean, Tim, Abe, that was the moment to make the case effectively and force Hillary Clinton back on the defensive. Trump should have done it. I hope when this comes up again, and if it comes up again, I mean, he's got to make this case, right, in a convincing manner and push her back.
Well,
on
the media's not going to do
this.
It for
no, the media
for him.
Will not do it.
And yeah. I got to tell you guys, I don't understand that. And maybe I'm like somebody with Stockholm syndrome. When I saw Trump not go in there, I mean, this is Trump, you know, Trump who
attack dog Trump,
counterpuncher Trump.
Yeah. Right.
It made me think about Mitt Romney in 2012. I could not for the life of me understand why Mitt Romney would not press President Obama on Benghazi. I couldn't understand that.
Right.
And I just had a reflexive reaction, like, why? This is the low-hanging fruit.
We
ever.
Were all yelling at our TV screens.
Right.
Email,
what is going
email,
on?
Email.
Yes.
And he didn't
I have a theory on that. I think he was coached to be too nice by his handlers because they said, listen, you need to seem presidential. You need to be above the fray. Call her Secretary Clinton. Don't call her Hillary. He was sensitive to being, you know, the loose cannon. He didn't want to be perceived as they wanted to get him as not being more presidential and not being a loose cannon. So he was thinking about that too much. I think the other thing was if his sniffles indicated to me he had a cold.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but man, standing in front of people talking for an hour and a half, after probably about 45 minutes of focus and concentration,
you just lose it.
You start to fog a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that happened to him because that was not the normal, pretty sharp, focused Donald Trump. In addition to this, this was the first time he had been a one-on-one debate. He didn't do this with his Republican debates were basically multiple people on stage and multiple interviewers for the most part. So he was in a different setting. I think he did okay. I don't think he lost the election. I don't think he gained anybody.
Yeah.
It'll probably be decided in round two and round three because there are three presidential debates. But I'm just purely speculating.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably why he didn't do what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
You know, go for the jugular, so to speak.
I hear what you're saying, but you don't have to go for the jugular. You don't have to make it personal. But in being presidential, one of the chief responsibilities you have is the security of the nation. So he could have discussed it within the context of
cybersecurity. I agree.
And understanding that.
I would have laughed. After I heard cybersecurity, now maybe this would have been ill-advised, but if I were Trump and the very expression cybersecurity came up, I think at that point a good soundbite would be for him to just laugh out loud for about a minute, minute and a half, and just excuse himself, turn around, say, I'm sorry, you said cybersecurity
and Hillary
in the same phrase, and I couldn't help myself. We all got it. Come on, that's funny. I don't care who you are. Right, Secretary Clinton? You know what I'm saying? Something like that would have been a stellar moment for Trump.
Could have been.
I think maybe, but maybe, I don't know. So you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Is this dead now? Because yesterday was Comey's, the FBI director's second appearance, I think, before the House. And all these, at least the Republican guys, Democrats, I don't know what they were doing, but the Republican guys were basically flabbergasted. Comey's answers and it just became clear that we all know what happened here. You know, go ahead, Ray.
My quick answer to the question is it's dead as far as the media is concerned. Clinton's not going to touch it, right? So this
she said I made a mistake at the debate, and I thought and I'm sorry I did. She said I made a mistake. I wish I don't know what else she said. But she didn't even talk about it anymore, which was wise on her part.
Really, Abe, don't you think this issue is dead unless Trump picks it up?
Trump has to prosecute the case.
He's got to prosecute
in
the case.
In debate number two?
He has to. He has to.
So and whatever he's asked, he needs to go to that.
I mean, there's so many different ways to get to it. You know, there's so many different avenues.
It, I know I'm asking an obvious question. Why does it? Would he not be in risk? Would he not risk the maybe the voter who's undecided saying, you know, enough of this already. I'm tired of hearing about this story. Talk about something else.
I don't think so, because if I may be wrong in this, but
right.
a voter who is undecided, many of them may not have been paying as close attention to all of this stuff as some others. And what you do, you use it to draw contrast between yourself and Hillary Clinton. And I think you can always use as the underscored consistent phenomenon in the whole prosecution of this particular case is her lack of trustworthiness. You know, trustworthiness and judgment.
He needs to bring that up. That's fair.
That's more than fair. That's more than fair. And you can put that within the ambit of national security.
So if Trump were to say something like this, Secretary Clinton, there's a reason why 60 to 70% of the American people say you're untrustworthy.
Yeah.
Or you're dishonest, and then go from there.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Right. Ray, you think?
Well, look, he's making the case out on the stump. I mean, you listen to his speeches, and he's making the kind of case that you and Abe are talking about. But I don't think it's enough to do that just in front of – and it's different when you're standing in front of 15,000 screaming, cheering people, right, in an arena.
Right.
You can make the case. He's got to stand up there and in a calm, dignified manner,
right,
make it to her face without getting – overly personal. You don't have to get personal. Just make the case standing on the stage with her so the American people can decide. That he hasn't done that. He missed that Monday night. He's got to do it next
right.
time out.
He does have two more debates, and you know, to say some of the things we've talked about here today. Donald Trump is, I thought she was smart tactically, Hillary Clinton, to save the mudslinging for the end.
That was a good move.
Don't you think
oh,
so?
Yeah.
Her part.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a good move
she
on her
threw
part.
She threw the mud on him.
And he didn't have a chance to respond.
And he didn't he didn't have time, really. He had to make a split decision call. He's running out of time. Do I go back with my own mud? And he said, I was going to say something really rough against Hillary and the family, but I said I can't do it. Can't do it. He went with her. On the she went after him with the things he said over his career about women, which he has said some things that were tawdry, I guess you could say, over his career.
Well, she knew what she was doing, right? She was
She
was well coached. Talk about somebody. Donald kind of got off script, so to speak. Hillary, I thought for 90 minutes. She had her script, and you could almost see her ticking the things off in her head.
What about the shoulder shimmy, though?
Yeah. I know.
That was pretty cocky right there, don't you think, Abe?
I do.
I think she was saying, like a peacock, you know, I won this thing.
Yeah.
And you're out of time, Donald. And very interesting. We will see what happens. I don't know that it affected the numbers out there. I think it's probably a draw. But we'll find out the next when is the next debate?
Oh, a week from Sunday. Well, the vice presidential debate is next Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Mike Pence and what's the gentleman?
Tim Kaine.
Yeah, Tim Kaine. Both.
Right. It'll be low-key compared to this one we just had.
Yeah, both of those guys are kind of mild-mannered.
Right.
So,
comparatively.
Yeah, so some might argue if you want to go to sleep that night, turn on the vice presidential. I'm just kidding. I don't say that. I'm just saying some say. It'll be much tamer, much more dignified. Those two gentlemen have a lot. We're both governors, and
right.
Mike Pence is a current governor.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks, Abe.
No problem.
I grant you immunity for lunch today. Okay. We'll see you, Ray. Take care.
Thanks, Tim.
Trivia Friday, also known as Learning University. We'll be on the air in less than 24 hours now. We'll see you back here tomorrow for that.